more choice with Starbucks rewards. Now that's grounds for celebration. Collect 10 stars for every £1 spent. Earn just 130 stars for a signature Americano on us. Or 300 for a bite to eat from our selection of bakery favourites. Save up and you can even score merchandise. More choices, faster rewards. Want in? Download the Starbucks UK app today. Subject to availability, participating stores only, 18 plus. Full terms and conditions at starbucks.co.uk/rewards.
Snowmobiling, relaxing in the spa, and getting your foodie on. Who knew you could do all of this on a ski holiday? It's time to get next winter's trip in the diary. Head to crystalski.co.uk. Choose from over 150 resorts and get flights, transfers and accommodation sorted in one easy package. Plus, your trip's covered by APTA and Atoll protection, of course. Book today and pay just £100 per person. T's and C's apply.
Welcome back to another episode of Dropping the Gloves. Tim and John here. John is calling in from the airport and he's a little bit shy. He doesn't want to announce himself in front of all these people. So John, how are you doing? Great to see you.
I'm overcoming a big fear right now because I hate doing stuff in public with people even having a chance to look at me, but I'm doing well. Thank you for having me on your show. I appreciate it.
It's good to see you. Yeah, you're traveling home from one of your speaking events, and we could not talk about this today. So you're on the road, you're at the airport, but we're getting it done. And what a game last night. Did you stay up for the whole thing?
It's funny because my talk was over dinner. So I explicitly told everybody at my table and around me and at the event, I said, do not tell me the score of the game. Don't tell me anything about it because I'm going home and watching it. And sure enough, midway through the dinner, it's 1-0 Canada already. And I just shot him an icy glare. I'm like, what are you doing? Shut up. Stop talking about it. Well, yeah, I was eventually, I could go home. ESPN Plus, where you squint your eyes so you're not looking at the score. Put it on play and rewound it. I watch it from the beginning. It was a great game, like a fantastic game. But yeah, I was obviously able to watch it. Everybody did watch this game.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. We actually had all of our friends of the show in our Slack, our Patreon subscribers, basically just a live chat the entire night. It was a lot of fun. People, just about everyone was there. And obviously disappointing end if you're a USA fan, but just an incredible tournament for all hockey fans everywhere. We talked about this in the weeks leading up to it. It wasn't on anyone's radar through the holidays. I remember when this was announced in the fall, it was like, Russia's not coming, like Kucherov, Kaprizov won't be there, Pasternak's not going to be there, the guys aren't going to try. It exceeded all expectations. I would think from puck drop game one, which was Sweden and Canada, just incredible effort, passion, momentum, and it just built throughout the tournament to a huge, crescendo last night, losing musical terms, just incredible game, just from start to finish.
Yeah, I think when you just look at the totality of it, what it was replacing the All-Star game, which over the years, ever since 2016, with my incredible ascent to the All-Star game MVP and just taking the world by storm, since then it's been a downfall and not really enjoyable to watch. They've tried different gimmicks, so it's replacing that. And so when you look at it from that standpoint, it was a huge success. It garnered worldwide attention right from the drop of the puck, especially, the USA, Canada demographic, the drama there with the fights and then going into the final game, the injuries, the sicknesses, is Quinn Hughes going to get called up? Who's coming up for Canada? It was much watched TV. And I think when you look at it from that standpoint, Bettman and the NHL must be ecstatic because it drew in. I'm sitting in the airport. It's on every TV. PK Subban's doing interviews with national outlets, SportsCenter, all these, the morning talk shows are talking about it. So from a strictly marketing standpoint, it was huge for the NHL. Worked out gangbusters.
Yeah. I mean, you have the president tweeting about it. You have people all over the world. I mean, even my girlfriend, Julia, is like pointing out the Kachuk brothers in commercials now. Like, she knows who they are. It's transcending just the hockey fans, which is pretty cool. And it shows just how hard players play when they're playing for their own country, which kind of highlights how much we've missed over the last couple of Olympics between not sending NHL players, COVID, all this stuff. And when you think about the talent that was on the ice last night, the passion in which they played, and then going into like the tie game, the overtime. It's some of the best hockey that we've ever seen, ever. So it was a lot of fun to watch, which is pretty special considering it wasn't for a trophy that anyone cared about. It was just beating the Americans, beating the Canadians, doing it on the biggest stage, and playing for like guys like McDavid, finally getting a chance to play with his idol, Sidney Crosby, and then getting his own golden goal. It's just, it's pretty cool. It's a lot of fun. But before we get into the game, one other thing I want to mention, and I think this is something that I you almost don't think about it, which is a good thing, was the officiating, right? Yeah. Like, there was a couple of calls. There's always a couple of calls. The icing, I think there was, you know, maybe too many men on the ice. Right. But yeah, overall, the officiating was really good throughout the tournament. No one was complaining about the refs. Not really. And even though Canada got a power play last night and the USA didn't, like, you're not really in a lot of chatter about that. And I think, you know, it's a credit to the refs. They mostly kept the whistles in the pocket. And I think it's also one of the, I think probably the biggest difference. And I think it matched or exceeded playoff hockey in every way, except for getting dirty. There were no bad hits. There were no, like, a couple of weird collisions, whatever, but like there was no, not real hatred that led to like people trying to hurt each other in the way that sometimes the playoff in the Stanley Cup finals does. And that enabled the refs to keep the whistles in their pockets and call a game and basically stay out of the way, which is really important.
Well, I think that has to do with the people on the ice. It was four lines of stars. And when you take away the aspect of the typical third and fourth liner, you lose that kind of dangerous, questionable hits. The dangerous players in this game were Brady Tkachuk. They were JT Miller. They're really, it was Hagel. And these guys are 30, 40 goal scorers. So when you lose that aspect of having to worry about little rats like Ryan Lambert, friend of the show, you don't see the questionable hits. You don't see the dangerous areas, but it was still passionate. It wasn't like there was no hitting. It was just more calculated, maybe careful, but it was just energetic. I had a guy come at me on YouTube. I almost responded to him. He was just coming at me saying, this wasn't that enjoyable of a game. It's not even close to a passionate game in the playoffs. I saw the Rangers and the Devils play and this and that. And I get that. The difference is it's four lines of skill. And every line that goes out there, and they touched on it last night a little bit. I thought it was a great point. There's scoring chances all over the place because every line has a threat to score. Dylan Larkin's on the fourth line for a point. He's on the first line. He's bouncing around. He's killing penalties. Canada's playing Brandon Hagel on the fourth line. You get Bennett, who was a superstar in the playoffs last year, playing on the fourth line. These are unbelievable hockey players playing on the fourth line, so you're still getting great hockey for every single line. I think that was the difference between an NHL playoff game where it's like, okay, first line, second line, really enjoyable. Third line, fourth line, you know you're getting. It's plumbers, it's checkers. It was four straight lines, Tim. Just super solid passes and plays and just really, really great hockey to watch.
So we'll get into the game, and we're not going to spend a ton of time like recapping the score and the scoring and the X's and O's. We all watched it. We all know it happened. But a couple of things I want to maybe point out before we get to our takeaways. And one of them was the crowd in Boston. Great crowd, playoff energy. You got the USA chants. You kind of get the little bit of back and forth during the national anthems. But I will say, and this, you know, hockey's always going to be Canada's game. Montreal's barn was better. The crowd was better. From start to finish, it was louder, it was more energized, and maybe because of the, you know, Canada won in the States. But I did kind of notice that the crowd wasn't quite as electric as it was in Montreal.
It was pretty close. It was a heck of a crowd. Were they booing Marchand every time he touched the puck?
I love that, yeah.
I felt like they were. Why was that? You're a Bruins guy. Why were they getting after him?
I think that's just like kind of in fun, because when he got the medal and the trophy last night, they were cheering for him. And maybe a lot of fans had left the building, but he did get his moments. So the scoring opens up in the first, as Canada scored first in every game they played. Nathan McKinnon.
Yeah,
great, great play. And they broke it down over and over again on the broadcast. Thomas Harley just making that little pinch and opening up the line. It drew Brady Tkachuk away from his
match. Oh my gosh, they were giving Harley the Norris there. He did nothing. He just got the puck at the blue line and gave it to McKinnon, and then he went into the zone. It's not like it was a revolutionary play. I was sitting there watching these guys just all over him, drooling over this play. Thomas Harley, it was a normal play. McKinnon saw the play, and he walked the blue line, and he took a shot. It's not like this great play that everybody's making. There was traffic. He shot the puck and it went in. They were just trying to give them all huge accolades. It was an okay play, but it was, yeah, I couldn't see a thing. But didn't you think that, or are you just like all over Thomas Harley now? Oh, what a play. He went into the offensive zone a little bit.
Yeah, no, that's one of those things where, like, I just don't, that's another level of, like, on-play analysis that it's just kind of over my head. So when they say stuff like yeah. that, I just believe them. It's like listening to scientists talk about, you know, like yeah. quantum physics. I'll believe whatever you say. But yeah, they did spend a little bit of time on that more than they should. And then later in the first, who else but Brady Tkachuk ties it up with a great pass from Austin Matthews. And you, just a great, like, one of those plays that not a lot of guys in the league could make, because he doesn't even really shoot the puck. He's just driving his body forward. It kind of deflects just off and it just flickers over the net, over the glove and into the net. Great play from him. And he's obviously playing through some pretty heavy injuries because he's moving around, not quite himself. Even before the game, he wasn't kind of tight. And you know that he might not have played if it was a regular season game, but there's no chance he's missing it.
Oh my gosh. And then, well, yeah, like you said, he goes to the places that nobody wants to go to. He's got three guys around him. He still just manages to get a stick on the, it's afterwards. Did you see his face afterwards? Like, just total passion, elation, yeah. Austin Matthews chasing him down. It's so infectious. And that's, if you're just a casual fan, you see that. It's just like, man, it's so cool to see these guys really caring. And they made a good point. Ray Ferraro did a great job. Ottawa's never been in the playoffs with these guys. So Sanderson and Tkachuk, this is the biggest game they've ever played in. Like, this is huge for them. And the same goes for Larkin and all these guys. It's a big stage. They haven't had that ability to play in a pressure-packed game since being a professional. So it was neat to see how they responded. And all those guys played lights out. Brady Tkachuk might be the best American player. He had a great tournament.
He really did. And then speaking of Sanderson, he ties it up with another great play, you know, joining the offense and zone and burying that shot. Sorry?
He gave them the lead.
Yeah. Sorry. He gave them the lead. Put them ahead 2-1. A great play. And another, like, late roster addition because of guys getting hurt and contributing right away. And you forget he's only 23 years old, too. Like, these guys are so young, a lot of them. And they're taking us to the next goal.
Sam Bennett.
Yeah. Great play, by the way, but it's the kind of thing that shouldn't really work on NHL defensemen. Fox just fell for it, hook, line, and sinker, and it gives Bennett the chance to just go right in and roof it. So, brutal chance. We're going to talk about Fox a little bit, but yeah, great goal for Canada there.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we'll talk about Fox in a second, but just talk about Sam Bennett, how he was, you know, healthy scratch the first two games. I questioned his addition to this roster. I said, why are we putting him on the roster? Why is this guy even included? He's got some decent skill, but it's not, you know, a seven-game series. What is he doing? Eating crow. It was a great addition. He stood up to the Tkachuk brothers. He was able to compete, get in there. Gives you some of that grit that Canada's roster was drastically lacking. On the back end, they didn't have anybody throw the right in other than Colton Barranco. So he was a huge addition, and he gets a big goal when you absolutely need it. Obviously, if he doesn't score, they lose this game potentially. So awesome from him. The guy's he's a gamer. He's an absolute big game moment guy.
Yeah, so it's a tie game. The third period's winding down. You kind of see both sides just electric hockey, incredible goaltending, big saves from Binnington and Hellebuck. Great chances up and down the ice. And they talk a lot about this in the broadcast. You get into that portion of the game in the championship, nobody wants to be the guy that makes that mistake. But the problem is you can't play to avoid making mistakes because then you can't win. So it's this weird little dance of like wanting to contribute, and you can see that, you know, guys, it tightens up a little bit. There's fewer chances being taken. There's fewer, like, you know, defensemen joining the rush, all that stuff. It goes to overtime. And by the way, Matthew Tkachuk hasn't played since the end of the second period. He didn't play the entire third or overtime. We'll see what happens to him and how that might impact him joining back with the Panthers. But of course, it's the golden boy himself, Connor McDavid, bearing that in overtime. What did you see from that goal there from Marner?
Well, dude, are we just going to gloss over Binnington? Or are we going to touch back on that?
We're going to spend a bit of time on Binnington. Don't worry.
Okay, because he was standing on his head. The USA should have won this 3 or 4 times before they get to McDavid. The key play, I think, no one is really addressing is the icing before the play. It's a casual icing, 50-50 puck. The ref calls it in Canada's favor. You go down, and if you're Canada, you're looking at who's on the ice. If you watch that overtime, Tim, we talked about this before. It was strategically the USA every single time, like clockwork. They put out Slavin, they put out Faber, they put out Miller, Trocheck, and Boldy. That was their D-zone special. Miller would take the draw, or Trocheck would take the draw. They'd win the draw, they'd be out of the zone. It was like clockwork. Every time they had a D-zone face-off in the third and overtime, they couldn't get those guys out there. They were stuck out there with Matthews and Hughes, and then they had their worst D pairing out there with Fox and Hanifin. Canada sees this, they throw out their top line, they win the draw, the rest is history. McDavid pops out. Matthews should have stayed on him. On a draw, the center stays on center. until it's all sorted out. Then he becomes a, an aide for the D-man in the corner. It wasn't sorted out. He lets McDavid get away from him. Obviously, Hughes hits him, or Marner hits him with a great pass, and he goes, top shot. Nothing Hellebuck can do. It's a perfect shot. It's a bang-bang play. Canada wins. It's just funny how little plays, icing, not allowed to get your guys out there. Canada takes advantage. Good coaching by Cooper, puts his top guys out there, and it's the end of the game. Canada deserved to win. They were the better team last night. They played better. They got more chances. They were the more energetic team. But in a whole, I wouldn't be upset if any team won. But yeah, you got to give them props. They had a great bounce back.
More choice with Starbucks Rewards. Now that's grounds for celebration. Collect 10 stars for every £1 spent. Earn just 130 stars for a signature Americano on us. Or 300 for a bite to eat from our selection of bakery favorites. Save up and you can even score merchandise. More choices, faster rewards. Want in? Download the Starbucks UK app today. Subject to availability, participating stores only, 18 plus. Full terms and conditions at starbucks.co.uk/rewards. Snowmobiling, relaxing in the spa, and getting your foodie on. Who knew you could do all of this on a ski holiday? It's time to get next winter's trip in the diary. Head to crystalski.co.uk. Choose from over 150 resorts and get flights, transfers, and accommodation sorted in one easy package. Plus, your trip's covered by APTA and Atoll protection, of course. Book today and pay just £100 per person. T's and C's apply.
Game from the last time they played the States.
Right. And if you're Gary Bettman, if you're the NHL, you created this tournament out of thin air, right? And you manufactured like all this incredible PR and energy and excitement. You're reaching new fans, USA versus Canada. It almost became political, which we won't get into, but like, it's just transcending hockey. It's so much fun. And you can't imagine a better ending for this tournament than USA and Canada in overtime. And Connor McDavid scores the winning goal. That's like, that's Gary Bettman wrote that novel, right? So it's just incredible finish. Even though it's disappointing for us USA fans, we have a lot to be excited about. And I think one of the major takeaways for sure, that I think we already knew, but now it's confirmed, is that Canada is still the best hockey country in the world, but the gap between them and everyone else is nowhere near what it used to be. USA is right there, and I think some of the other countries can be there too.
Yeah, I don't know. Obviously, they're the best because they won. But if they lose, are they the best? Is USA the best right now? I think that it's not just an unequivocal, yes, Canada is a hockey powerhouse. They used to be. I feel like USA was the best team of the tournament. They just lost this game. But as a whole, yeah, you got to give it to Canada. But boy, oh boy, when you have chances that the USA had to win this game, it's a razor-thin margin. And it was just an enjoyable game. We could talk about reasons why the USA lost. We could talk about reasons why Canada won. It's just a great hockey game. And I do feel like with the addition of Russia, I think Russia's right there. The distance between those top three, the gap is starting to widen just a little bit. You could tell the difference between Canada and USA and Sweden and Finland. There was a clear chasm there, a divide of talent. And it's only getting more and more. USA has vaulted into that top crescendo of teams. Russia's in there. So I think those three teams have set themselves apart hockey-wise on the world stage. You know, Germany has some talent, Czechoslovakia, Slovakia, those teams. As a whole, man, it's tough to compete with those three countries.
So now I want to go into some kind of, in no particular order, some of our thoughts and takeaways and major, things to say about this tournament. Most of them are player specific. And the one I want to start with is Jacob Slavin. Just incredible defensive play. You notice him every time he was on the ice, which is rare for a defensive defenseman. His vision, the way he anticipates and sees the play unfolding, and doesn't do it with his body. It's his stick. It's his positioning. It's his hockey IQ. In all three zones, he's breaking up plays. He's breaking up passing lanes, poke checks, and even saving a couple goals. And there's the obvious one of that Crosby rebound, which 100% was going to go in.
Yeah, he's blocking Jarvis's shot. He played great. Like, he really did.
That sliding play on the 2-on-2. Yeah, like, that was just incredible. So now, like, everyone's talking about Slavin, and I think it reinforces the idea that if it's not the Norris, then there needs to be another trophy that addresses the defensive defenseman and really just the true best defenseman in the name, right? Because if you had that trophy, He's a Bergeron type in terms of the amount of hardware he's bringing home and getting nominated just about every year for a decade. So it's too bad that he doesn't. Hopefully we see that.
Tim, I've been beating this drum for a long time. You give it to the defenseman who gets the most points. Erik Karlsson wins it. and I'm barfing in the back corner because he has no business being called a defenseman at any point of that season when he was with the San Jose Sharks, when he was a glorified fourth forward. And what it does to me is it solidifies the need for that type of defense. We saw last year with Gustav Forsling with the Florida Panthers. The guy came out of nowhere and was the star of the Panthers. And then this year with the Four Nations Cup, Slavin is the star of the USA team. And he didn't really do anything offensively. He was just a stud defenseman. And then I think Brock Faber gets overshadowed a little bit and he gets overlooked because he played tremendous. There was time after time when he was one-on-one with Connor McDavid. And he just shut him down. He picked his pocket. He stayed in his lane. He forced him to go wide and just rubbed him off from the boards. That kid is tremendous. He played absolutely lights out. The USA had a lot of top performance. And going from bad to worse, you have those two guys playing lights out. What the hell happened to Adam Fox? Like, he was not horrendous, not good. He didn't do anything. This offensive wonder kid who was just so good the last few years, he sucked. Absolutely just getting exposed time after time. So, oh boy, he needs to wake up. He's going to play in the Olympics in 2 years.
Yeah, people were pretty unhappy with some of the Rangers players in general. I think Fox for sure. Trocheck was invisible at best. Kreider had that great goal in Sweden, but it didn't even end up mattering. And he turned the puck over a lot. Although I think you kind of asked him to do more than you would have wanted to because of like Matthew Tkachuk getting out and Brady playing injured.
Yeah.
You need a big body forward. He threw his weight around a bit. But yeah, the Rangers guys in general just were not great in this tournament. And just back to Faber real quick. I agree 100%. And I think you watched him get better as the tournament goes on. Because there was a couple plays in the Finland game, their first one, and then Canada, their first matchup, where he was like just not totally – got exposed a little bit. And you're like, okay, you can see a young kid. You watch him, and then he got better as the game went on and the series went on. And then last night he was one of maybe the second best defenseman on the team. So – really yeah, special to watch him. Still so young.
I want to
touch
on a couple forwards, though. The guy who stood up for me up front was Jake Guentzel, friend of the show. He was all over the ice, back-checking. Like, he chased down Brad Marchand for the breakaway in the second period or third period. Him and Matthews clicked so well. He set up Matthews so many times for just tap-ins, and Austin Matthews, for as good as he played, for whatever reason, couldn't score. He is the best goal scorer in the tournament, hands down, and he could not find the back of the net. He had time after time, grade A chances, and couldn't put it in. But Jake Guentzel, first time playing international, was arguably the best forward for Team USA. He was so fun to watch.
Guentzel was awesome, and Matthews was great too. He was on my list as well. And, obviously the missed coverage on that overtime goal, but you can't really pin that on him, solely. And I think for the non-Leafs fans that don't watch him every night, if you're just a ravaged hockey fan, all you see are his goal totals in the leaderboard and some highlights and stuff, right? Like, and it's always goal related. You got to see him play and see parts of his game that you wouldn't normally see if you're just, if you're not a Leafs fan, like shutting down the other team's top lines. He was breaking up passes. He was really good defensively, and that's something that I don't know, it's very good to see.
I'll play devil's advocate though. The thing I'll remember, he had a great tournament, he played well defensively, he's brought in to score, he's a 60 goal scorer. Him getting just shut down by Binnington twice in overtime, that's it. And then McDavid gets one chance and he scores. So if you're going to compare the two, which everyone always will,
yeah,
he choked when he had the opportunity and McDavid came through and buried the game winner. That's the difference. And those two guys are very similar. They're always going to be compared. So McDavid wins, Matthews loses.
So let's talk about Binnington. And what can you say about him other than he is a big game goalie? They said this a lot on the broadcast. You know he's going to let in what we call a bozo goal here and there. You saw two of them the last time
he was
called
a bozo goal?
Bozo goal, yeah.
Who calls it that?
I just did. Guentzel and Larkin's goals in the first time they played each other. He lets in some beach balls here and there, but he rises to the occasion when the stakes are high. We saw it in 2019 with the Blues Cup run. We saw it last night. He's like that weird psycho goalie energy that you want. He wants the pressure. He wants the weight on his shoulders. He wants the intensity. He wants the whole world to watch him make that save. And there's not a lot of guys that have that energy. So that save on Matthews in overtime, amazing. I think you have to respect what he did in this tournament, even if, you don't like him.
Oh, he played great. I still don't agree with the decision to play him, but he came up when they needed the balls. He played lights out. He made some like 10 bell saves throughout that game. The Brady Tkachuk save after the Matthews save on the back door there was incredible. He played good. I'll own it. He played great. I still don't think he should have been in the net.
How can you say that after what we saw last night?
well, just based on the first three games. Like, yes. He wasn't the best option in game one, and he let in weak goals. He did come through. Two things can be true at the same time. He was not good in game one. He was not good in game two, and they played him, rightfully so. And I think he should have benched. Cooper stayed with him, and he played great in the final game.
I think this kind of highlights how smart Cooper was about approaching this tournament, because he knew all along it was going to be about this game. And you don't want to throw in a cold goalie in this game, so you get through it. And you trusted Canada's roster and offense to, like, win the games and get the points they needed to get to the championship game. And he wanted a healthy and excited and hot goaltender in Binnington, which is what he did. And so I think he kind of foresaw this entire thing playing out exactly as he did. And you saw him embrace Binnington when they won. Like, he held him and was, who knows, we'll never know what he said in his ear.
Kissing his neck and stuff.
Yeah. This is a good 20 seconds of little monologue there. But I think he knew that Binnington would deliver, and he did. So you have to give a lot of credit to Cooper for it seemed like he was kind of playing chess with that.
Yeah, he just ignored the noise, because everybody was calling for Aiden Hill to get the net. It was just the logical choice, especially after that second game when Binnington again had Bozo letting in Bozo goals. Well, you know, good for him. He stood by his convictions and he put him in the net. And Binnington, you're right. He drives under that. He searches it out. And we've seen it in his NHL career. He's going after guys, sticking guys, fighting guys. It's annoying, but he seems to play well when he's under that pressure. So, good for him, man. Like, he played terrific for Canada.
A few more players here I want to call out. Brady Tkachuk, obviously. We need to get this guy on a playoff team as soon as possible. It could be the Ottawa Senators. I hope it is. I want to see those guys in the playoffs, but you need him on the biggest stage. It's good for hockey. It's good for USA hockey. And it's good for people like us that are just watching him rise to the moment and play through injuries. He's such a natural leader. He has incredible passion that's contagious through the rest of the lineup. He's playing through injuries in a tournament that ultimately doesn't really matter. And he just wants that responsibility. So it's a lot of really cool to see.
And again, just like Jacob Slavin, it's good for hockey. It's good for GMs to see that, holy crap, like, this guy, he's not the most talented guy. He doesn't, you know, do the best toe drags, or he can go top shelf whenever he wants. He doesn't have the greatest hands. He is just a hardworking power forward, and he's the best player on the ice. He's better than Matthews. He's better than McDavid. He's better than all these superstars. So what I hope it does is it opens either minor hockey, young kids, or GMs to say, we need more of these types of guys. Because for the last 10 years, it's been, I want the small water bug to go out there and make plays. I want the speedster. We're going away from the power forwards. And I think what this tournament solidified was, we need power forwards. The guys who were successful on both sides, on both teams, we're the guys who can get the puck, take it to the net, go in front of the net. It's the Tkachuk brothers. It's the, you know, the Hagels and the Bennetts. Those were the guys that stood out for me in this whole tournament. Yeah, the Stars did what they do, but when it came down to crunch time, Brady Tkachuk was the guy. Like, he was the guy that the USA leaned on. And who would have guessed that coming into this tournament when you have Hughes and Matthews and all the other stars that they had? It was Brady Tkachuk, friend of the show.
Yeah, he needs to be the captain for Team USA at the Olympics next year. 100%. So we'll see that, you know, I think everyone wants him on their team, which they already did, but now more than ever, he's transcending hockey right now. The next one, this one's a hard for me to say, and this is not a positive one, but Brad Marchand, I mentioned this in our Slack community last night. This tournament really showed that he is not among the top players in the league anymore, which I think we knew, right? Like, it's not like it's a surprise, but watching him in a best on best, and you just see him, he's kind of a step behind. He's not a terrible player, obviously. He's still a very good player, but he is not in that upper echelon that he was at the peak of his career. And it is really glaring this whole tournament.
Yeah, it's okay. When you're not getting the prime offensive faceoffs, when you're not on the power play and you get limited minutes, it was obvious. He's long in the tooth. It is what it is. He was a good locker room guy. It was fun to see him on the ice, but he was mostly there for his experience and to kind of maybe step up if they needed him. But yeah, he's Tim.
Yeah.
His best days are behind him. It's like the dog you have that's like 14 years old. And it's like, gosh, he's still good. He's like, take him behind the shed, Tim.
No.
Take him behind the shed. Put him down. No. You got to put him down.
Can't do it.
It's time. It's time for him to go. He was dragging down Seth Jarvis' old tournament. Poor Seth was just like, come on, man. Let's go. Keep up.
Speaking of, so a couple of roster moves last night that were surprising, and Kyle Connor was a healthy scratch. First of all, he did nothing in this tournament. I think he had one shot on net, no points, just like was not producing. But people have pointed out he has more points or goals than every other American player in this tournament. Why wouldn't you, in a game that where it came down to one play, one snipe, like you'd want a guy like him in the lineup. And I don't know what Kreider or Trocheck or Brock Nelson give you that you can't get from Kyle Connor. So that was kind of disappointing to see.
I thought that was a bad move. Kreider should not have been in the lineup. He was a waste of space. And I know Sullivan has a history with him when Sully was an assistant coach of the Rangers. So he knows what he can do, but bad decision. Connor's got to be in there. And then I think a bigger impact is not having Charlie McAvoy.
That's my next one.
Versus the game versus Canada. Yes, he was replaced with Sanderson, who played well, but you lose that second D pairing that could shut teams down. A huge, huge impact by him not playing.
Yeah, and what's really, there's a kind of an interesting story here. So he gets injured, and then he underwent testing yesterday for an infection in his shoulder that had to do with whatever injuries he sustained, which is crazy. But now all the stuff's coming out that apparently, this is a report from Elliot Friedman, the Bruins were unhappy with the way that his situation was handled, that he didn't get the proper care up to their standards. And that kind of opens up this whole other ball of wax. Like, we kind of knew, okay, what happens if a guy gets hurt? You know, then like, is this tournament really worth it? If you had lost McKinnon or Marner or whatever to a major injury, it never occurred to me about the fact that you're dealing with different medical teams that don't have all the information, don't have the relationships. It just never occurred to me that is there any kind of impact you would expect to see from this?
Oh, for sure. Well, Billy Guerin was the president, so he brought along the Minnesota Wild training staff, and I knew all those guys. And obviously, the Rangers have a different standard. The Bruins have a different standard. So you're trying to communicate. If I'm sitting there in Boston, I see McAvoy go down, I'm calling Billy Guerin, I'm calling the trainers, like, hey, what's going on? Can you give us a heads up? And the lines of communication maybe weren't there, but yeah, I'm pissed. Like, it impacts my team. And if you're the Florida Panthers or the Ottawa Senators or the Boston Bruins or the Rangers, and you have guys coming back from a break, because this should have been a 2-week break for you to recover, and all of a sudden I can't dress these guys, and I'm in the hunt for a playoff, find the Boston Bruins. This definitely impacts my future willingness to let these players go and play international, because it's a huge deal. It's fun to say these Four Nation Cups are great for the hockey, but I'm a business owner. I got to win games. I got to put butts in the seats. I got to make the playoffs. And that doesn't happen if McAvoy's out for a long period of time.
Well, and on top of that, Ty Anderson, friend of the show, pointed this out, that, as you mentioned, it's the Minnesota Wild training staff. And it's apparently that same medical team that the Bruins had issues with last year when they brought in Pat Maroon. They were not happy or in agreement with the medical report they got on Maroon from the Wild. So this is something that could end up becoming a bigger story, or maybe just plays out in future ways. So something to keep an eye on. Okay, so I kind of put together, I couldn't think of a better name than this other than just a nice list and a naughty list. The players who were the
bozos and non-bozos.
The players that stood out to me. I'll start with a nice list. Slavin, we talked about, obviously. Bennington, both Kachucks, obviously. Dylan Larkin, you noticed him time he was on the ice. He was a guy that was probably considered to be the 13th forward. He starts in the fourth line. By the end of a tournament, he's playing first line minutes. He controls the puck so well. He's doing stuff in risky situations, like being the guy at the point with the puck with two guys
walking
on him.
The point with McDavid right in front of him. I was like, get rid of
and
him.
Just staying in there. Just incredible to watch him. And it was really good. I don't know. He's a guy that you like to root for. So I was glad to see him play really well. Connor Hellebuck, obviously. Sanderson, we mentioned. Brock Faber, we mentioned.
I don't think Hellebuck played that terrific. I thought he played okay. There was no times where he played out of this world. I think Bennington made really, really great saves. Hellebuck just did what he does, but I don't think he exceeded expectations by any means.
Maybe not exceeded, but you expect, you know, one or two goals a game, and he delivered that. So,
oh, he sets the bar so high, which is hard because he's Hellebuck. So, but I thought he played okay. Did he shake the moniker of not performing in high pressure situations? Like, he's been garbage in the playoffs for the last 12 starts. I think he's just terrible. Do you think he's shaken that a little bit?
I think he has. Yeah, I think he has. Because you're talking about a guy who was letting in like more than five goals a game in the playoffs. So he had, you know, three last night, but before that he was averaging one a game. So yeah, and he also went 2-0. Before last night, he didn't play in that Sweden game. That was Ottinger. So I think you have to give him a lot of credit. Thomas Harley.
What are your thoughts on Josh Morrissey getting the bench?
He was sick, right?
I thought he was a healthy scratch. That's what it said on TV.
Oh, really? I read a report that he wasn't feeling good. Either way, he was Canada's best defenseman when Makar was out. He was really good. So I wonder what exactly the situation is.
I didn't think he was that good. He was a fill-in for Makar, but I do feel like it was the right decision to sit him down. So I don't know. Harley played great. He did this one play in the blue line where he skated in and he took two strides and McKinnon scored. Did you see that? It was unbelievable.
He was good. And I think the best part about him was the other game, right? When he didn't find out till that morning he was playing, couldn't practice and jumped right in. But he was good last night too. And then the last one I want to mention, and this is hard for me, but Mitch Marner was great in this tournament. And it's easy to be great when you're playing with McDavid, but there's not a lot of guys that can like play with that high level of talent and keep up and make that player better. And you've seen that with guys who have played with McKinnon and Crosby and all these other players. And Marner did it really well with McDavid, and obviously great pass last night to win the game. So he was great.
Yeah, you compare him directly with Jack Hughes. They're the same type of player. They do the same things. And Jack Hughes, for whatever reason, he tried his darndest, could not get it going. He just couldn't find his footing, played with Matthews for a long time again, so they took him off that line. But it didn't work out. I noticed you washed over him pretty quickly because you have a man crush on him.
No, my naughty list is next. He's on it.
Oh, the naughty list. Sorry, the Bozo list. Sorry, go ahead.
The Bozo list. Yeah, so Jack Hughes, he was number one on the list. I think at best he was invisible. You didn't see a whole lot. And you saw, you know, here and there you'd see a nice pass to Matthews, whatever, and he created a couple of chances. But like you said, he never got going. And it sucks for him because you know that he hasn't played in the playoffs, really. Like, he hasn't really had a big stage, and he wanted to step up. And, you know, he wanted to play with his brother. Obviously, that didn't work out. But, yeah, for whatever reason, he just never got going.
Not good. You need him to go.
We talked about him already, but Adam Fox, just disappointing in every way.
So everything to do with the Rangers sucks. Like, it's just like, stay away from that. Poor JT Miller. You know, he's just around these guys. It'll be interesting how this offseason goes for the Rangers. They got a lot of decisions to make.
Yeah, Trocheck too. I think just invisible.
Took a penalty.
Speaking of invisible, Brock Nelson. And he was kind of like my dark horse going into this of like, hey, you know what? Like, he gets overlooked. He's overrated. He's on the team for a reason. You felt like he played 5 minutes a night and he just didn't do anything in those 5 minutes.
Defensively, but yeah, very. And when you compare him to the Canadian fourth line and third line, he didn't do anything. Yeah, I would be hard pressed to figure out what he did at all. Did he get any shots? Did he do anything? Like, he was just nothing. His stat lines are zero across the board.
Yeah. And then the last one on my naughty list, and you can let me know if you had any more to add, but Hanifin. I just think he, you know, when you think about McAvoy and Faber and Slavin and all these, the really good defensemen, Hanifin was just really not an impactful player at all.
Yeah. And then again, we're setting the bar so high where you have to go out and do something. I think Hanifin played okay, but he did get beat quite a bit. He was exposed. And then, I don't know, I think everyone played great as a whole. It was a very well done tournament, especially Canada and USA. They played off solid. There was nothing that stands out for, like, I would have done anything different. Both teams were incredibly well coached. They played with passion, and it was just a great game.
So, yeah, and it did kind of get me thinking of, like, did we really need Nelson and Trocheck? Couldn't it would have been better if we had Tage Thompson in the lineup? Cole Caulfield, Jason Robertson, some of those other guys?
Well, Luzari's what if. I'm sitting there looking at Marchand, I'm like, Connor Bedard would be pretty good. Mark Scheifele would be pretty good. You know, they get some young kids who are happy to be there. Marshy's been there, done that. So it's just, you can play, you know, armchair quarterback or Monday morning quarterback and edit things. But I think they did a good job picking the rosters. I think it worked out for Canada, obviously, and both teams played great. I don't think the GMs or the presidents are kicking themselves for not, you know, picking a player they should have.
So the last thing I want to touch on here before we let you go, the NHL season, regular season, picks back up tomorrow night, like one day off. And you look at who's playing. It's Minnesota and Detroit, the Brock Faber, Dylan Larkin, Edmonton and Philly, Sanheim, McDavid. Like, how do these players adjust back to the regular game? Do you see, like, Faber getting the night off? Like, what's this transition going to look like?
And they'll be fine. They're pros, Tim. They'll go back. They'll sleep. They'll have a nice dinner, and away we go. There'll be no nights off for any of these guys, but it'll be a letdown because you're going from this high impact situation with tons of pressure and thousands of fans and everybody's watching you. And then you're Minnesota, Detroit. Like, who cares? It's just another throwaway game. It'll be a little bit of a letdown. I think they'll take a week or so to maybe get back into NHL form because they didn't get a break. They didn't get that time off to be with their family and kind of recharge the batteries. So it's just the nature of being a good player. You don't get breaks. At the end of the season, you go to the World Championships and you go to the Olympics and you're doing all these other camps. It's just kind of, it's the cross that they bear to them of being so good. But it'll be fine. I think you'll forget about the Four Nations Cup in about 2 weeks, and everybody focus on the trade deadline and getting into the playoffs, and away we go.
Yeah, it's fair enough. Yeah, I was kind of wondering if what momentum will carry over. I guess we'll see, but I think you nailed it. So any other...
If anything, it's Binnington who might carry his momentum. Honestly, he might be the only one to carry over, because McDavid's always great. He's the one, and it's too bad St. Louis is a train wreck. But yeah, it's the shine will wear off pretty quick.
Any other major thoughts or takeaways or players you want to point out before we wrap up?
You know, I got my toothpaste taken at security today. And the TSA is so inconsistent, because I flew out yesterday, the toothpaste was fine, and I fly back today and they take my toothpaste. So it's just the consistency with these people is just outrageous. And it was a half full bottle of Crest, and I'm just like, come on, man. Like, I'm not going to blow the plane up. It's toothpaste. Like, open it up, take a smell. And it's just like annoying. He just takes it out, throws it away. It's just a waste. It's very wasteful. I was not happy with it.
Yeah. We all feel sorry for you. So hopefully you can overcome this and spend the extra. That's $5 that you got to spend now because of this. It's not fair. It's not right.
It's a good joke that the guys used to, because my oral hygiene has never been the highest. So
I know
when I played, the guys would always joke. They'd be like, hey, John, did you find that cat? I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, cat. We'd be on the bus at the end of the game or heading for pregame skate. Like, can you find that cat? I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? Like, yeah, the cat that shit in your mouth last night. I'm like, you guys. And so I'm gonna be feeling that on the flight. I'm not fresh. I need that toothpaste. So anyways.
Cool. Well, thanks for making this work and calling in from the airport, and everyone staring at you and pointing and noticing. So you're very brave.
Overcoming fears. I'm very brave. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you next week. Cheers, everybody.
More choice with Starbucks Rewards. Now that's grounds for celebration. Collect 10 stars for every £1 spent. Earn just 130 stars for a signature Americano on us. Or 300 for a bite to eat from our selection of bakery favorites. Save up and you can even score merchandise. More choices, faster rewards. Want in? Download the Starbucks UK app today. Subject to availability, participating stores only, 18+. Full terms and conditions at starbucks.co.uk/rewards.
Pete here from the Football Ramble, which is being sponsored by LiveScore Bet. This football season, experience total betting for yourself. It's everything you love about LiveScore, like the latest scores and cutting-edge stats, alongside great odds, offers, free-to-play games, and a slick bet builder. It's everything you need in one place. Less app-hopping, more action. Download the LiveScore Bet app. T's and C's apply. Please bet responsibly. 18+. Gamblerware.org.